I just pray over Malcolm today that he gives a good sermon, that the Holy Spirit will fill him with knowledge of the Lord, and that he will preach the book of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. To go?
Yes.
All right. There goes Ray. Well, I'm encouraged because I know what the message is about, and everything that was said this morning, again, just kind of really fills right in. And you've already heard part of the message. In fact, one part of it, something that Steve read, was actually part of the message. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to talk about a few things here first, kind of give you an update on some things. Steve talked about it, really, and about the Supreme Court. But I want us to be very well aware of what the ramifications, the implications of things that have happened. So it's going to be a little bit different. I had to write a few things down to make sure that I got down exactly what was said. I guess everybody knows that the Supreme Court had made a decision that said that gay marriage is a right, and we're going to talk about that. I want us to know that some things that were said previously, somebody said, I think it was Melinda said, about that this can be important. Jeremy Campbell's talking about how important it is for us to know the Word. Mm-hmm. And part of what this is today is for us to be able to know how we really stand on these issues, and that what we're standing on is the Word of God, not our own personal feelings about things, but by the Lord's attitude about particular situations and what he says about it. I think that's really important for the church, because I think for decades the church has just avoided standing in the right place to push against the cultural changes that have been happening in this country. And I think it's time for us to rally in the Lord and decide whose side we're on. I'll be talking about that. So, this decision about gay marriage being a right, okay, puts marriage now as a right for people. This was never even talked about before. The implications are that now this is a civil right, which means that you can't discriminate. The possibilities here is that people who speak out against this, it could be looked at as a hate crime. Okay, so these are all possibilities that could happen from what's being what's just taking place. That there would be penalties. There's already been penalties for people who, because of conscience, haven't, like the bakers that said that they wouldn't do the cake for the gay wedding. And they were fined, and basically they ended up, I think at least one couple that had a bakery lost their bakery. They couldn't deal with all the penalties that came with it. I really see this as an opportunity to start painting a picture to the general uninformed population, and maybe, and probably even within people that are called the church, uninformed about what's really going on and what God says about certain things, and only going on personal feelings and opinions that they want to drive the church that really believes what the Bible says out of existence, and only have people that will kowtow to the prevailing politically correct dogma. And so this is very important for us as Christians, that we realize this is part of what's going on. You have what's happening a lot right now is that not only on this issue, but on many, many different issues, there is this thing to back people into a corner who have a different view, a different belief about different political or social issues, and get rid of them, ostracize them, make them look like they're haters or intolerant. This has made a lot of people in the church become a little more step back. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to say something that's going to make me look like I'm a hater, a bigot, that kind of thing. There's a few things I'm going to go down through here. I know this is not a normal kind of thing that you probably hear in a message, but because it has so impacted what is out in front of us, I felt that we as a church should be well aware that these are things that could be up ahead for us, where there could be persecution, there could be pressure brought to bear, and I hopefully myself and all of us here would be in a position where we're standing on the Lord's side, right? Not our own concepts about things, but on the Lord's side, and I want to talk about that today. And if you heard something that was said, that they talked about standing, something about standing, and I thought, well, yeah, that's exactly right. Who's on the Lord's side? Stand and be counted. You guys know that song, right? So that's basically what the message is on. So what we have right now is that what the Bible describes as sin is now a right. Think about that. What God calls sin is now a right for people to have. And this is the reality that we're in at this point. Now, there can be arguments, and there are. There's arguments coming from even people in the church who have a heart to just love and to accept and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with loving and accepting. But there's some things that I want to just make sure that we understand. Here it says, let's look at 2 Thessalonians first. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the coming of Christ," is what they're talking about. "That day will not come except there comes a falling away first," also known as as an apostasy, to fall away from the faith, is what that is. "And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So, before the Lord comes back, in the days, months, years prior to the Lord coming back, the scripture is very clear that there's going to be a falling away from the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We have this. We have this, I guess all of us really know that the definition of marriage from time immemorial was that it was a union between a man and a woman. That's how it's always been. And now we're looking at something that where man is changing the definition of what marriage is. Okay, that's what's going on. Everybody has agreed to this for centuries. And what we're finding here is a falling away from the truths of the Bible. Now, you might have I'll get to it.
I won't get ahead of myself. All right. So we see that there's going to be this apostasy, this falling away from the faith that I want to talk about here, that if you, this is really, this whole apostasy is caused by an antichrist spirit that's moving in the world today. And we know before antichrist comes, that there's going to be this outflowing in stronger and stronger waves of the spirit of Antichrist. And Antichrist is against Christ. We've said this many times here, that it's an amazing thing that every other religion is to be honored and respected, but Christianity seems to be the one that keeps getting come against, right? That's where it's at. And that's part of that spirit of Antichrist. And part of the spirit of Antichrist, if you continue reading in 2 Thessalonians, you will find that it talks about how there's going to be, at that time, such a deceiving spirit. The spirit of Antichrist is a deceptive spirit. It doesn't just come straight out against Christ sometimes. It appeals to the nicer elements that people would normally gravitate to. For the people in the church, there's deception even within the church, because all you got to do is talk about love and acceptance and tolerance. This seems like that's what we're supposed to do, and so we should be accepting all of this. And there's a deception there, and I'll talk about it here in just a little bit. So, the argument for the acceptance of gay marriage or lots of other things. Lots of other things. But just recently, this was the issue, so I kind of focused on that particularly. But you can apply this any way that you need to. There's so many avenues that even taking something from the Word of God and it gets twisted can deceive people even within the church. So love and tolerance is one of the arguments. I'm not going to go into depth on the argument for the gay marriage. I'm going to come back a little bit stronger and talk about the argument against each of those. Equality. Okay? That they should have equal rights, like any other person. And the third thing is science, that they were born that way. How many have heard all of those arguments before? You've heard all of those arguments. See, it's important for us to know, we need to know, when we hear something, we need to know how to defend the faith, don't we? We need to know the Word of God, right? We need to know what spirit is involved to deceive us into just accepting things. Even if it's against the Word itself. The church is falling away. Lots of the church is falling away. They're just accepting it because they don't want to look bad in the eyes of the world.
Malcolm, I had someone tell me that he was born that way.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, I says, I don't think so, because God doesn't make mistakes.
Right. There's the, I'm gonna touch on each one of these points, but that's true. So let's look
at something here first. Let's go to Romans chapter 1.
While they're turning that way, there's some. I took a picture of a sign of a church, and I don't know where this church is, but on there, you know how you can sit there and put, like, they have like a little marquee on it.
Yeah.
It says government makes sins legal, but does not make it right.
You're right. Exactly. All right, so in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we're going to start at. It says this. It's talking about, well, you'll see. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is suitable. So we see from that particular scripture that homosexuality, and therefore gay marriage, which would which gives credence to that act, is a sin. Can you see that from that verse? Okay. So with that as a basis, that God sees it as a sin. Okay. And now in America, that's a right. Okay? If we look at this whole concept about love and tolerance, people say that, well, these people love each other, so they should have the right to marry one another. And what we know about what the Word says, that it is sin. No matter what our feelings are about people that love one another, the Scripture says that this is a sin. And therefore, it's important for us not to use that as an argument, or allow that argument to affect the way we think. Love, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 6, it says, love rejoices in the truth. Now that word rejoice has the same connotation as being joined together like a marriage. Love and truth are married together. You can't just say love is the answer and it not be according to the truth of the Word of God. Do you see that? So that's very, very important for us to see. People just say, well, we just got to love. And these people love each other, so then that makes it okay. No, it doesn't, because it doesn't. It's not married to the truth. Do you get this? This is important for us to understand this and to stand up against this, because, you know, the secular world, the politically correct world, is pushing this down our kids' throats all the time.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how many shows I've seen where there is the token homosexual or homosexual couple in a story. That they introduce and they push it, and wherever it is in these stories,
The heroes of the story, the main characters in the story, they're applauding, the homosexual couple. They're applauding what God calls sin. It used to be that people understood that and stood away from it. Right? It's important for us, here at the end, we've already lost a bunch of ground in the legal sense of the thing. And what people do on their own, but what's going on now, this spirit, this sinful spirit is pushing it down into us having to accept. And lots of people, because of their fear of being labeled as a bigot, they just think, oh, that's just fine. That's fine. We accept that. And it's in the church. We know this, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. And this is what we don't want here. There's let me just read you this scripture. I've read this to you before, and I think it's apropos to this discussion.
Because everybody in right now, the spirit that pushes America is tolerance. Tolerance takes precedence over whatever God says about anything. No, you are wrong if you're not tolerant. This is what it says. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 32. This verse 32, I guess. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the prosperity of fools will destroy them.
Now, let me see how that...
It says complacency.
All right, here's the for the complacency of the simple will slay them. The word simple, let me tell you what that word means. Other ways that you could define that word. It means, let me go down here, someone easily misled. Or ignorant. Someone who is naive. Someone who is open-minded. Isn't that what people want us to be? So open-minded about things. And it says the complacency of the open-minded will kill them. You get this? Another word for open-minded is tolerant. Now you can take any of these things and take it to the extreme, and that isn't what I'm talking about. There is a sense of long suffering that happens in relationships. You have to be long suffering about things. You tolerate certain things and you try to work through things. I'm talking about tolerating to the point where there is no godly pushback to the evil that's going to try to overtake our society. How many of you out there realize that evil is overtaking, little by little, overtaking the mores of our society? Do you know that? You see that? I hope that you do.
This whole thing about equality. There's the legal thing of equality, and I think that's something that we can't really deal with, and we want people to have equal access to the things of this life. But there is a moral side to it too. God does define marriage as the union of one man, one woman, like I said before.
So, I don't know. I guess we have to decide whether we agree with the precepts of man or if we agree with the precepts of God. You have to make that choice.
I think it still goes back, Malcolm, to morality, like what you're basing your morality on.
You know, in the past, we based our morality on the Word of God.
Yes.
That was where we based our morality.
So, right.
So if we use that as our basis, then we know where we stand as far as what's moral and what's not moral.
Yeah.
If we get rid of the Word of God, which is what's happened in the schools, get rid of the you know, prayer in schools and don't teach religion in schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What happens is then over time morality becomes based on somebody's decision.
Somebody else's.
So and who's to say if their decision is right or wrong, because you'll have different people. But if you have more power, apparently that's who you want to believe more. So therefore you're basing it on the people in power a lot of times versus on something that's standard.
Yes.
Because if you don't have something that's standard, what happens is the base of morality changes all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now is it's changing. So right now, this may be right, and then 2 years down the road, this may be wrong. And so you got this fluctuation of morality all the time. There's no standard morality. And so it all goes back to
you put their foot down on anything.
Put your foot down on something, right? So if they say, where do you base your decision on? You're going to say culture, or the president, or this person, or that person,
yes.
Versus saying, well, I base mine on this book right here, written over a period of 1,500 years by all these different authors, by all this, by people who didn't even know each other, and it all got seen together, unexplainable.
Yes.
And it makes sense.
And this same book that we're talking about here, the Bible, is what our Savior, Jesus, says is the Word of God.
Yes.
That this is where the truth is. Right? This is that's what the Lord says about this book. So this is why we use this book. We don't use the politically correct thing, the thing that just kind of the people in power, this is what the people in power say, and so connect with that. And there's a strong pull to go that way. There's intimidation against people, not to speak out against those that have that clout, that can do something against you. Right? You can see that.
I look at it weird way, but I think God's sifting and God's weeding and winnowing, or whatever the word is, that because we're so, we lived in America and we just assumed that everybody would do, have our beliefs, our this, but, and then it's so it slowly crept in, the wrongness, the untruths, and everything. And so God is saying, oh, you're going to have to get off your butt and stand, because now the world is the world. This country has changed, and you have to stand. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing the enemy uses is we say God is love. But God is love, and that whatever God does is loving. We can't define God, but what he does is according to his word. God is righteous. Not according to man's righteousness, but
according
he is righteous. He is fair. We can't say, well, God wouldn't do that because that's not fair. But whatever God does is fair. And
whatever God has given to those that he directed to have a written expression so that people in this world would know what his will is about moral, civil, political, whatever aspect of life you're talking about. God did not leave us without a witness. And it was written down. People say, well, how do you know men wrote that? But the scripture and Jesus himself says, this written by man, by the hand of man, was inspired by the will of God. As the mouth of God spoke to the hearts of those men, they wrote it down. That's why we stand on this. Because we believe that. Right? This is why it's important that we know this. And we know what God thinks about something. Because it doesn't matter if what I think.
If it was just left up to me, I'd say, well, just let everybody do what they want to do. You know? I don't want to have to deal with the lives of other people. And we don't have to, really, in a certain sense. But the people say that Christians are trying to shove their ideas down everybody else's throat, when it's really the other way around.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Think about it. It's not the Christians trying to force something on somebody else. We're just saying what we believe to be true. We haven't legislated anything. But you know where the legislation comes from? You know where the hard push is? It's coming from the other side of these issues, who want to push this down our throats. And if we even say we don't believe that that's true, that this is wrong according to the Word of God, we're the ones that get pushed into a corner and are ostracized. You see, this is what's going on. This is the spirit of Antichrist.
The other problem is a lot of these groups are taking specific sections of the Bible and saying, you know, well, God says we have to, not to judge people. We have to love one another. And it's like, you need to read the whole thing. You can't just take one little word or one sentence.
Yeah, I'm going to get to some of this stuff that you're saying, but that's true.
Yeah, I'd like to add something to Reggie's. Rich and I got in a discussion with somebody this week, and it was about morals. And he came at us and says, well, is there such a thing as morals?
Sure.
You know, and he brought up the culture.
Sure. It's the only logical conclusion. There really isn't it.
Because, I mean, just because we're raised this way, it's our culture to treat people this way. And just because the Middle East people are, you know, no such thing as morality. No, it's all culture.
Yeah. See, there is truth in this world. Right? There's truth. If there's lies, there has to be truth.
Right.
So there is truth. And where is that truth? Well, we're convinced that the truth is here. And because we believe that, we have a responsibility to say, this is what we believe. You can believe whatever you want to, but listen to what we have to say. If you want to say something to us, we'll listen and we'll compare and we'll make our decision and you make your decision. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to throw anything down anybody's throat.
No.
Blake, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I was just stretching.
You were stretching.
The thing too, Malcolm, when you were saying that, to let everybody do what they want to do, that's kind of like an underlying theme lately. It's like,
yes.
Let everybody just kind of
kind of
do what makes them happy. Whatever makes you happy, if it makes you happy, it must be right. Really what happens then is, you know, there's a word for that, and it's called chaos. That's what it is.
Yes.
If everybody's doing what they want to do, and whatever makes them happy, there's chaos in the world because everybody's doing their own thing. And if that's the truth, if you really believe like that, then if somebody shoots somebody because they feel like that's what they want to do and it makes them happy, then you accept that as, well, it made them happy. They want to do that. That's okay. So there's a lot of underlying things that is not true to the arguments that come forward.
I don't really know. The younger people are out. I don't know what they're getting in school these days, but I know that it's a very, very open kind of thing. It's not really. It's based on man's ideas about things, and this is where we have to really draw a line, and not be afraid to draw that line when we're talking to people. Not try to force anything down their throats. But gosh, it's good for people to hear something different besides the dribble that's coming out in society right now. You know? So I think this is why it's important for us to know these things. Now, the other thing about science and being born that way. First of all, that is an arguable point. But if you even gave people some leeway about that science. If Homosexuality is a sin. And we can see in the Word of God that it's described as that. Right? Then how is that any different than any other sin or propensity to sin? We all have propensities of sinning in one way or another. We might have a propensity more to be a little more prideful than others, or maybe there's because of family situations, maybe more of a propensity toward abuse of alcohol. I'm just giving you some examples. Now, we say, oh, well, they have a propensity toward that sin, so we'll just let them go ahead and live that way. You have more of a propensity toward being angry outbursts, and so just let people just do as they please. Or, you know, we have to understand that. Well, there's a certain way that you do understand some of that. But do you see what we're saying here? So if all of this is sin, these different things that I just mentioned are sin, including homosexuality, even if there was a propensity toward it in somebody's, the chemical makeup of their brains or whatever, even if that was true, do we say then they're not supposed to fight against that? Aren't we supposed to, as it says in Romans 8, verses 12 and 13, it talks about how we're supposed to kill those deeds of the body, that those sinful things. We're supposed to get rid of them. We're supposed to learn how to reach into God and turn away from things. Right?
Yes. Everybody has their own battle.
Everybody has their own battle.
So
people that, let's say there is a propensity toward homosexuality, those people have to battle that particular sin, like I have to battle the sin of over-anxiousness and worry.
Lust.
Any kinds of lust, whatever. We're not saying that is worse than some other sin. Sin is sin, and all sin is an abomination to God. So we're not sitting there, you know, pegging somebody because of that particular sin. We're saying you can overcome that as well as we can overcome the sin that so easily besets us. But let's call sin, sin. Let's not be afraid to say that is sin. That's missing the mark. Because God didn't create Adam and Stephen. Right? He didn't create them male and male. Adam and Stephen, and bless them and as husband and wife. God didn't do it that way. We have nothing to say about it. God is God. This is His will. Right? So no matter what we think, if we want to be His children, we want to be led by His Spirit, then we need to come into line with what God says about these things. Don't we?
Well, if they succeeded and made everybody believe their way and do their way, man would cease to exist.
Well, yeah.
And it's not about controlling people, but it's about telling people the
truth. People the truth.
Nobody wants to, the church doesn't want to control the world.
No.
What they want to do is we want to be able to say, this is what the Word of God says.
And this is what's going to bring you true happiness. And this is, you know, and this can deal with any kind of sin you want to talk about.
That's
you
right.
know, you have a lust for money, or you know, you're just driven about money, having to have money. You know, there's a better way of living than having that kind of drive. God will bless who He wants to bless that way, but we need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then let God add as he wants to. If you really believe that, it's a better way to live. You're going to have more peace. There will be more love. There will be more of really the way we accept and love and include people. We're not out to not relate to people with these different sins. We have to relate to people. All of us have sin. Mm-hmm. don't we?
Yeah.
And we don't want to put our nose up to people with one particular sin and say that that's worse than something else.
Right.
Then we get a little bit, what's the word? Puritanical, maybe.
That's what we want to do.
If we're sinful, we go after the bad things that enslave us, and then Christ will be free to enjoy his creation.
Yes. Yeah, that's what the motivating factor is. Not to show that, we know something more than somebody else. No, we know that this is the Word of God, and God wants to help people. God has a perfect, wonderful way that He wants to take people. And we just want to say, hey, look, why don't you consider this? Because I've found in my life that this is right. This works. And I'm freed from the shackles of the sins. You know, I still got more to go.
I also know when I get away from that things go wrong pretty quick, and that my life is tougher, and I have to work through those things more.
Yeah, that's right. Because we're to end up mortifying. We're not going to know if God never reveals to us those particular things, and that usually comes with situations that are uncomfortable for us. Ray, you want to say something?
Yeah, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be almost laughable that atheists and other religious groups trying to destroy Christianity in this country, they hate it. If it wasn't for Christianity, they wouldn't have the right to fight against it.
That's right. All these rights wouldn't have been there to begin with. Steve talked about the prayer and to persevere and to vote and stand. And I had written down under this persevere thing because I was thinking about that. We have to call sin sin. But in the process of that, we still have to be kind, respectful, and helpful to those people, to any people with any sin, right? Because all of us are made in the image of God. And then what we do with it is, we mess it up, right? But we have to respect the fact that everyone, all the human beings in this world, should be treated with respect and honor. Not the sin, but the person, right? So we shouldn't be mean and hurtful and denigrating to a person. We need to be welcoming and respectful and all of that. One of the things that we talked about since this whole thing came up with the Supreme Court thing was the church and you as individuals in the church should not be stepping backwards and accepting things and accommodating certain things. We should be people with no compromise. This is what it means to stand. We're not going to be moved off of what is the truth, right? Just to get along. Or people are going to move off the truth because they fear the persecution or the name calling or whatever else might end up coming down the pike. We need to be people that will stand on the truth.
I want you to look in the Old Testament. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Those of you that have your Bibles with you. 1 Kings 18. And this is the story about how Elijah comes to the people of Israel. There's all these prophets of Baal worship, and which has been getting mixed into the culture of the ancient Hebrews. And this is what it's verse 21, 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah says unto all the people, "Why do you halt between two opinions?
Why? It's like straddling the fence.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I really believe, but I better not say anything because I don't want people to think that I'm intolerant. This is what I really believe, but I fear some kind of retribution if I speak out. You get this? A lot of what was said before this message started was about being standing and speaking what the truth is, as you know it, as it's found in here, right? And so this is one of the examples where Elijah says, you know, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. And it says, and the people didn't answer him a word. All right, let me go to another one. This would be in the book of Joshua. Joshua 24:15 says this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now, at first glance, you would say, well, what do you mean? Why would we think it's evil to serve the Lord? I'll tell you why. There's enough coming down the pike in our society that says, what kind of God would require us to stand against those kinds of people? What kind of unloving God is that? And there's lots of people in the so-called church that say, well, that's right, because God is just love. But God's also a God of truth. And God is a God of righteousness. And God is not only a God of mercy, he's also a God of judgment. He isn't just one thing or the other. We don't just cherry pick who God is. God is all of those things. And we want to be found in his will. And we want to be found seeking him. We shouldn't care what man thinks. Should we? Like somebody quoted there, you know, who are we supposed to obey? Man or God? Who are we going to answer to at the end of this life? When you die, who are you going to answer to? Nobody? You're just going to go into oblivion? So it says here in Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Yeah?
Yes.
And I think this is at the heart of the message. You choose. Make a choice. Quit halting between two opinions here. Quit hiding away and not stepping forth and standing and saying to people, well, no, that isn't right. I don't believe that that's right. I love people. I'm not going to harm people that are doing this or doing that. But that is wrong. The Bible says that's wrong. Well, who do you think you are? You have to be able to be a person that says, okay, I'm on God's side no matter what. And I will speak it to people that need to hear it. At the right time. As you're led by the Spirit. Right?
Yes.
But I think the church has gotten way too silent. The church has lost its savor. It's not the salt of the earth the way it used to be. Because it's backed off. What's that?
That's why it's getting trampled.
And that's why it's getting trampled underfoot by men. That's what it says. I think I brought a message last year about that. The church is the salt of the earth. And when it loses its savor, it's good for nothing, and it's trampled underfoot by men. That's exactly what's happening. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because we're backed into a corner, and somebody has taken a clothespin and closed off our lips and put some kind of spear in our heart to make us afraid to speak. Like anybody else, like the politically correct do, they say what they believe, but they want to intimidate you into not saying what you believe, because they want it to look like there's more people that think like them than you. And you know what's happening? Because we have been quiet, now there's more and more people that are thinking like that. Because they haven't heard something that pushes against that narrative. If we're going to change anything, we better be people that are people of the Word and aren't afraid to give in a nice, wonderful way the message of the gospel. And I hope we all are going to be the kind of people that say, as it does at the end of this verse, and then I'm going to close. Verse 15 in the middle of it says, whether gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we make that proclamation today? In your hearts. You don't have to say it out loud if you don't want to. But I and my house are going to serve the Lord. We are going to serve God. Lord, give us the strength, the mental and spiritual strength. Lord, the courage. Lord, the love. Lord, the proper way of speaking. Lord, give us the exact words to stand in the truth of the gospel and the truth of your word and speak forth, whether we win or not. This is what we're to do. And we thank you, Lord.